Blog Talk Radio.
I know radio probably ain't gonna play this, but chopper going off in the hood, man, like goddamn a fan of the Gaza Strip somewhere, man. Yeah, we hear so much, we probably know them to it by now. After all, it's the American way, right?
Home of the brave and free.
It's America.
Free just to murder me.
Land of the handgun.
Land of the beautiful.
Home of the shotgun.
Cursed by the hate we throw.
You're dead if you ain't got one. You said it the home of the brave, I guess. I said it the home of the cage and the vet. All alone with the J, poking yay, cause it's stress. On call with the test, something spray for respect. I learned from the bed, you to stay in the jet. Brought word from the vet, burn a rubber in the vet. This is good as it get, you to play with the rat. Then I got older and learned, stay away from the wreck. God bless you, nigga. The hustle up and make eight figures. Turn from a goon to a great young nigga. Don't complain that you're doing with a tape, young nigga. I was raised in the decade of hate, young nigga. I would dodge your police because they hate, young nigga. And we hate them too. 38 him shoot. How to change the system or take him too. He ain't a killer, but he will if you make him. Do a homicide here, right there, put him on trial. Let him have a life in it, then do it with a smile. And he only 19, he ain't even had a challenge. The child told him, mama, he'll be gone for a while. And she cried, see her, did you put him inside? Now she all on her own, cause her other son died. Listen to the politician as he lied, and he lied. He a snake in the suit, trying to hide in the sky.
Home of the brave and free.
Well, damn, officer, what I do?
Free just to murder me.
Now, hold on, man, don't shoot, I live over there.
Land of the beautiful.
Hey, man, what you doing, man?
Cursed by the hate we throw.
How many times did that happen to you? What the fuck do you know about being a black man in America? And you wonder why we walk around strapped. Fuck is you saying?
Hey.
For the stars and the stripes, cause the bars in the pipe. Young nigga rolling weed and a cigar he could light. Bang red, he's the blue, selling hard in the white. Live by the gun, never run from a fight. Trayvon in the hoodie, walking through a neighborhood. He didn't do shit to buddy, he didn't have to die, did he? I guess because his dad was a judge in the city. They didn't want him in the pen, wasn't thug, they could get him. A jury of his peers said all were forgiven. The cut on a mind, right or wrong, I'ma kill him. Fill him with the lead, like the prim Martin Luther King head. Like the kill Mechamet, Edgar Hoover did, yeah. You can catch me in the hood where they shoot niggas at. They don't know if neighborhood or the Hoover did, yeah. Well, the Pyrus, the VLs, the GDs, with me, we down the upright from the OG.
Home of the brave and free.
Don't get it fucked up.
Free just to murder.
If you ain't found something you're willing to die for, you ain't fit to live.
Land of the beautiful.
To get something you never had, you must be willing to do something you never done.
The hate we throw.
I'ma die by mine.
Is this a
new America? Tell me why you can get more for being a CEO than you can for being a teacher. Tell me why it means more to the government to pay the people who gotta watch over the prisoners more than the people who gotta keep the children from becoming prisoners. That makes sense. Tell me why 9 ounces of crack get you more time than a rate right now. Tell me why them crazy white boys can tote a gun, but I can't right now. Yeah, I had felonies, I done did dirt in the street, but I ain't never gave to nobody that deserved it, you know what I mean? I ain't never ran no public play with no pistol shooting no innocent people. I ain't never ran no school killing no kids. Man, this is the result of you refusing to deal with the issues at hand. We are a product of the environment you placed us in. We ain't do it. We just live through it.
Home of the brave and free.
Got a message to my people.
Free just to murder me.
Stop waiting on folk to help you help yourself. Start
land
with you.
Of the beautiful.
Get yourself out. Reach back. Get somebody
cursed
else out.
By the hate we throw.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, all holy praises are forever due to Allah, who is in the perfect person of Master Fard Muhammad. We give him praise and we give him thanks for traveling 9,000 miles on his lonesome to seek, save, and assist a people to whom no divine guidance had come to prior. And when he got here, he made the wisest decision that any human being has ever made. And that is when he anointed and appointed for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad to be the eternal leader to his eternal nation. And I would be remiss in my very existence if I did not feel raising up and teaching the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the boldest and most courageous human being that I've ever had the privilege of laying my eyes on. It is in their holy, righteous, and noble names that I would like to greet everyone under the sound of my voice. We say it in the ancient Arabic language of my ancestors, Assalamu alaikum. Dear family, I would like to start off this broadcast in the same spirit and disposition that I began all of my broadcasts, and that is in the spirit and disposition of gratitude. I am thankful to Allah first and foremost. I am thankful to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I am thankful to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, for if it were not for those three wise teachers, this young black man in the hills of North America would have absolutely nothing of value to say. Dear family, I know it's been a while since you've heard my voice, since I've been able to do a blog talk radio show. And while it is a battle of consistency, it is nevertheless an extreme pleasure anytime I'm able to come before the people with something of value to say. And today, I honestly feel like I have something of value to say. Living in this country, in America, where racism is not just the foundational stone, but it is the seminal fluid that runs through the entire organ of America. Living in this country where on any given day, and every day, to be honest with you, black people are the prime subjects of discrimination, of hatred, of unlawful arrest, unlawful imprisonment, unlawful killing. We can literally have something new to talk about every hour on the hour. But the reason why I entitled this broadcast, What Colored People? Posing a question, because it seems like to me black people are in a fight for and by themselves. It seems to me like we don't have an ally while we're out here suffering. We don't have an ally while we're out here being mistreated. And one of the most foolish mistakes that we make is believing that we have any ally outside of ourselves. What colored people? And what inspired this title, what inspired me to ask this question, is because we think we have an alliance with all colored people. Not only is that a figment of our imagination, but if it pleases Allah, I'm going to show and prove how the term colored people is a trick by the enemy, and I'm going to show you just how far behind we are lagging in comparison to every other people, every other ethnicity, every other race, whatever synonym you choose to use. So as we embark on this journey this evening, I ask that everyone listen with a critical, listen with an unbiased heart. And if I do say something to offend you, you're more than welcome to call in. I'll bring you into the host queue, and we can dialogue. But I'm sure that everything that I say here today will be verifiable, and only a fool would disagree with the information that is going to be presented here this evening. What colored people? The term colored people, or person of color, refers to all non-white people, emphasizing common experiences of systemic racism. Colored people or persons of color refers to all non-white, emphasizes common experiences of systemic racism. So based off of the definition of what people of color or a person of color is, it means that all non-white people should have some type of coalition where they are a team, where they are a group, and standing together to fight against racism, white supremacy in this country. Now, that is the definition. We want to see if that is the condition. Every last one of us is familiar with the civil rights movement. Between the 50s and the 60s, that was the most volatile time that there has ever been in this country concerning the topic of race. You had race riots. You had race wars. You had court decisions that came down to race. You had bills being introduced that were centered around race. The 1950s and the 1960s was the golden era for racial tension in this country. And the civil rights movement was right in the thick of it. Now, the civil rights movement was allegedly for winning and attaining rights, not just for black people. And we have to be very, very clear about that. As a matter of fact, let's take it back even further. The Civil Rights Act, which was pushed on Congress by the NAACP, and the NAACP grew out of W.E.B. Du Bois group, which he founded, that was specifically for black people. But like everything that black people start, white people have to infiltrate it, and they have to change the agenda. E.B. Du Bois started, which was seeking the rights and validations for black people. Jews came in, made their modifications, changed the name, and then you got the NAACP. The NAACP was not founded by black people. It was founded by Jews, and it became controlled opposition. The definition of controlled opposition is when the enemy will fund, monitor, and allow a group to come up that opposes what he really wants to oppose on that group, seem as though things are going to be leveled out, but the whole while the enemy is controlling both sides and therefore controls the one outcome. The NAACP being founded by Jews and allegedly taking on racism in this country was and is controlled opposition. So under W.E.B. Du Bois, he wanted rights specifically for his people. But in the early 1900s, moving into the Civil Rights era, the Census Bureau was reporting that more and more minorities were coming into this country. And their top demographers were predicting all the way back in the 60s the decay of the white race. So the white man knows that he cannot escape genetic annihilation. So rather than try to defeat it, they're prolonging it. And so they don't mind allowing all of these immigrants in because they're going to put the immigrants over black people, thus allowing these immigrant groups to be a buffer between rich, racist whites and poor, struggling blacks. And in a minute, I'm going to go through the wealth difference in this country. And a lot of you all are going to be shocked to know that there are many groups in this country that are 20 and 30 million less than black people in population. But yet, the average median of their households is 10, 20, 30, and $40,000 more than that of the average black household. You're going to be shocked at the numbers that I'm going to present soon. But another thing that I want us to understand, another thing that I want us to get through our head is that we have no allies in this country. Every race is out for their self, and to be honest with you, I don't blame them. I'm going to say that again. Every race in this country, their self, and I don't blame them. The only people, not just in this country, but in the world, that think that it is wrong to just look out for their self is black people in America. And it is no coincidence that with that thinking, we lag behind every people on the face of the earth. It is no wonder. Negroes will fight you tooth and nail talking about separation when you start talking about independence, because you got some black people, well, you got a lot of black people that don't want to exist in a society where they are not being ruled by white folks. When they go downtown, the judge has to be white or something is off. When they go downtown and see all the Fortune 500 companies and see people doing business, if the average person in the suit is not a black person, something must be wrong. If they go to the movie theater and the lead role is not primarily a white man or a white woman, something must be wrong. Because when you are under a particular ruler for over 400 years, you can't even imagine a reality where that ruler is not ruling over you. But I got news for Negroes. I got news for coons. I got news for apologists for white folks. The white man's day is over. They are through dealing. And if you cannot abide by the thought that somebody who looks like you is going to be the president in your independent black nation, is going to be the governor in your independent black nation, is going to be the police chief in your independent black nation, is going to be the Wall Street tycoon in your black nation, then you can die with the enemy and his world. Time for the black man and the black woman to rule the earth again. Long before European colonialism, long before Alexander the Fake, long before Christopher Columbus and all these other hyped up white males went out and conquered the original people of the earth by lying, by deceit, by spreading diseases, black men and women rule this earth with supreme authority. Allah, that he came to wake us the hell up. Our time really started in 1914. Because Master Father Muhammad teaches us that in 1914, the white man's world, his rule, ended. Here it is, 2018, 104 years later. And you may say, oh, if the white man's time is up, why is he still in power? That's a good question. Why don't you go look in the mirror? The white man is not still in power by Allah's permission. The white man is in power due to our unwillingness to accept who we are and what time it is. So don't put that on Allah. Don't put that on God. Don't put that on Jesus. Don't put that on Jehovah or whoever you pray to. The white race is still running things because black people refuse to accept who they are. And who are we? Are we Africans? Are we Americans? Are we African Americans? What are we? You see, that's another mechanism that the enemy has used to keep us down. Every single decade, our identity changes. One point in time, we were just slaves. One point in time, we became African Americans. Another time, we were Afro Americans. Another time, we were Hebrew Israelites. Another time, we were this. Another time, we were that. So as long as they keep us confused about our identity, we will never have a common focus and a common goal to get to a common destination. So the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he dealt away with all titles by simply saying that the black man is God, the maker, the owner, cream of the planet Earth, not God of Florida, not God of North America, not God of Africa. He said that the black man is the God of the universe. So if by nature and by birthright, we, the black man and woman, are the gods of the universe, what in the hell are we doing allowing an enemy that has only been here for 6 milliseconds to rule over us? What in the hell are we doing allowing a recessive, degenerative virus rule over us, who, when we are in our right state of mind, everything in creation, we've been hit over the head. We've been hoodwinked. We've been bamboozled. We've fallen for the okie doke. We've fallen for the ballyhoo. We have been turned inside out and upside down. And some of us like being that way. Some of us enjoy being the tool of the enemy. Some of us like being disrespected. We like being looked down upon. We like not having nothing as a people. And if you are like that, you are every bit hazardous and dangerous to the rise and liberation of black people as our open enemy is. Matter of fact, many of us have been made so much like our enemy, white folks, that the white man no longer has to be present in our neighborhoods. They no longer have to be present in our schools. They no longer have to be present at our parks or at our clubs or any vicinity that we frequent, because they deposited so much of their mindset in the average black person that we do their dirty work for them and we don't even realize it. What colored people? And as we battle with our sojourn, as we battle with everything that we have going on, there's no outside force that's coming in showing concern to us for us to uplift ourselves. As a matter of fact, while we are destroying ourselves, while we are mistreating our women, while we are abusing our children, while we're allowing our women to get beat on, allowing our children to get beat on, other races are taking full advantage of that. Some of the same people who fall under this alleged people of color banner are taking advantage of us, and we can't seem to understand that we are in a war. Every race is out for themselves. The only people that don't understand this concept are black people in the hills of North America. We don't understand that the sole purpose of every person is the preservation of their people and their culture. We walk around here
wanting solidarity and wanting unity with everyone and not understanding that that is not God's will. God does not want you hanging with everyone because everyone doesn't want to hang with you and everyone is not worthy of hanging with you. We have to make this decision on our own, family, that either we're going to be comfortable being slaves because we still are, or we're going to come together and change our own reality. And it's crazy because a couple of months ago, everybody was pissed off when Kanye West said that after 400 years, slavery seems like a choice. And many people jumped all over that brother, but guess what? He was absolutely right. After 400 years, with all of this knowledge that is now present to us, in 2018, for us to still be at the bottom, it is a choice. And until we make the choice that we no longer want it to be our reality, we're going to continue to be at the bottom. That's why it's called the white race or the Asian race or the red race, however you want to place it. But every people is categorized in a race. Why? Because the goal is to outrun, outthink, and outdo the next group of people. And in regards to that, we are lagging terribly behind. Now, we're going to go on a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to go through these numbers showing the financial differential in this country as it pertains to so-called people of color. And then later on in the show, we're going to get into how every race takes a economic bite out of black people and how we truly do not have any allies when it comes to this country. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this commercial.
Just Us Youth Organization is on a mission to help eliminate the term at-risk youth by providing STEM, which means science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and entrepreneurship education through programs that encourage positive social development, increase educational opportunities, and economic security via media outlets. Our innovative TV show, Stay Focused Youth, is based on youth interviewing STEM professionals and business owners in their work environment. By becoming a youth, adult, or business member of the Just Us Youth Organization, you can receive discounted products and services from 33web.com. Receive free advertising for your business or organization through our many donation options. Sponsor a student e-portfolio that highlights academic achievement and talent and have your logo displayed on their site as a supporter. As a sponsor, you can be interviewed on Stay Focused Youth TV and you'll receive recognition and logo placement on our website and social media. We also provide a vehicle safety seminar and workshop along with How to Extend Your Car Life book. If you would like to help our youth stay focused and inspired to become future leaders in the STEM and entrepreneurship field, or if you would like to purchase a How to Extend Your Car Life book, please contact the founder and president, Mr. Jonathan Smith, at 242-423-6539, at 701-639-0190, or email him at jesustv33@gmail.com. Find out how to get involved with a student e-portfolio today. Please visit our website at www.jes-us.org.
Thank you. Dr. James Jones III is a graduate of The Ohio State University. He has earned graduate degrees in African American Studies and History. Dr. Jones has produced the following books: Creating Revolution as They Advance, A Narrative History of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. These writings examine the historical context that facilitated the demise of the civil rights movement's patience and the ascension of a much bolder and less patient mid-60s black power politics. Manhood, Race, and Culture, Volumes 1 and 2, contains 66 essays that cover national events that occurred within the African-American community. Oh, Bruni, An African-American Odyssey Home, is an ethnographic study that follows an African-American to Africa, his ancestral homeland. Foolish Floyd, The Life and Times of an African-American, follows an individual who emanates from a rich tradition of contrarians. You can purchase the writings of Dr. Jones at Amazon.com, also available on Kindle. Dr. Jones is also our network resident doctor and can be heard every Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Initiative Radio Network. Please visit his website at manhoodraceandculture.com.
All praise due to Allah. Welcome back to the Joshua Generation Speaks. We are asking the question, what colored people? And if you're just now joining us, the reason why we're asking that is because apparently in this country, colored people or a person of color supposed to refer to all non-white people, emphasizing common experiences in systemic racism. Again, colored people or person of color is supposed to be referring to all non-white people, emphasizing common experiences of systemic racism. So based off of this definition, it should mean that there is a coalition of Arab, of Hispanic, of Black, and of Asian people banding together to fight against white racism and white tyranny. Because all of the non-white groups in this country are as follows: Arab people, who are usually brown in complexion, Hispanic people, who are also usually brown in complexion, and sometimes red as well, Asians, who are usually more of a yellowish but extremely light complexion, and of course, Black people. So again, the definition of colored people or person of color is all non-white people, emphasizing common experiences of systemic racism. So based off of this definition, and based off of how the civil rights bill was worded, that should mean that there is a coalition in this country of Arabs, Asians, Hispanics, and Blacks standing together as brothers and sisters fighting against white racism. That has never happened. That will never happen. There has never been a coalition in the annals of history, let alone in the annals of American history. As a matter of fact, all of these so-called colored people are banding together, but they're not banding together to fight white racism. They're banding together to help whites destroy Black people. Now, the thing that inspired this broadcast here the most was when I saw that video of those Asian dogs, and I call them dogs because they treated like they were the animals, but the way that they acted, they demonstrated that they have an animalistic nature. When I saw that video of those Asian dogs beat a black grandmother and her two black granddaughters with a damn stick, all because the black grandmother or one of the granddaughters refused to pay for eyebrows that were not properly done. Now, let's put this into perspective. The black grandmother and her two black granddaughters come into the salon. They get their feet done. They get their hands done. And they get their lashes done. You know, however women refer to it. They paid for all of the work that was done right. But apparently, one of their lashes was messed up, and they didn't want to pay the $5 for that, which is understandable. If you are a consumer, if you're paying for something, you want it done right. If you go to a restaurant and you order a steak medium and it comes out rare, you are not going to eat that steak, let alone you're not going to pay for that steak. If you are spending your money, you have a right to refuse to pay your money for something that does not meet your expectations. I work in a restaurant. I see white people do it all the time. We had a white person come in the other day and say that their shrimp was dry. Even though when you fry something, of course the outside of it is going to be dry. You know what the manager did? He didn't argue with him. He got them something else that they wanted from off the menu. That's how business owners and managers properly conduct themselves. But apparently, these Asian dogs don't know what business is. Now, either they don't know how to conduct business or they see black people as being animals. And let me help you all out here understanding something. You see, Asians are arguably the most racist and hateful towards black people outside of white people themselves. Now, you all remember a movie, and don't call it a stretch. You all remember a movie called Menace to Society. The opening scene of that movie was a young black male who was by the name of Old Dog, who was portrayed by our brother Lorenz Tate, going into a corner store, getting into it with one of the Asian women there. He ended up killing her, killed her husband, right? Now, this was all the way back in the 90s. If you are an Asian and you saw that movie, this is how the programming comes in to hate black people. If you are an Asian and the first encounter that you have with a black person is seeing a young black male on camera kill a Asian store owner and her husband, you are not going to think well of young black people. Even though it's quote-unquote just a movie, your perception of all black people, especially young black males, is that they are violent, they're dangerous, and they have to be monitored while they are in the vicinity of your business. What happened days ago with his grandmother and her granddaughters were beat, this is not the first time, especially in recent memory, that Asians have gotten out of hand and put their hands on a black patronizer of their business. A couple of months ago, I can't remember what state it was in, but there was an Asian male in a hair salon who put a black woman in a chokehold and slammed her to the ground. There was an instance in Milwaukee at a hair store where an owner was beating on a black woman. Now, there's two things I want to say about this before we move on to these numbers. Number one, on any given day, and I got to call out black people, I have to hold us accountable. On any given day, you could log on to Facebook and find a video of black women beating the shit out of one another for no reason. On any given day, you can log on to Instagram or Twitter and see black men getting into an all-out Royal Rumble because Boo Boo stepped on Lil Keith's phone posits. But why is it? Why is it that when a white person, when an Asian person, when an Arab person, or even a Hispanic person puts their hands on us, all of a sudden we're not about that life no more? All of a sudden, we done forgot how to fight. We done forgot how to shoot. We done forgot how to stab. You see how conditioned we have been to only fight ourselves? Yes, those sisters were outnumbered, but they should have did way more damage than what they did. Because if those girls would have been black that were hitting them, they would not have stopped until that shop was reduced to rubble. That's one point that I wanted to make. Another point that I wanted to make, going back to these Asians, what I discovered was that there is a museum, I believe it's in either China or South Korea, one of those Asian countries, where they have a museum that depicts black people as animals. They were showing the display, and it was a picture, but every picture was cropped, and on one side they had a black person making a facial expression, and then on the other side of the picture they would have an animal making the same facial expression. So in China or in South Korea, wherever this museum was at, wherever this art show was at, they are already conditioning their children to see us a certain way. And then movies like Menace to Society don't help. So when Asians come over here and they set up their business, they already have the mindset that they are going to have to defend themselves against us, whether we aggress them or not. So when Asians come over here, the government allows them to get arguably the biggest credit loan out of any quote-unquote minority group or quote-unquote persons of color, because they know that the Asians are going to make good on it. Why? They come over here. They open up hair salons. They open up nail salons, right? That is a business that is guaranteed to succeed because black women, rightfully so, love their nails done, love to getting their nails done, love getting their hair done, et cetera, et cetera. They love it. They also come over and they open up these little so-called Chinese restaurants where they're serving our people cat, rat, dog, mice, possum, any type of meat. That's why they never run out of meat, because they're selling us garbage. But we think that we're eating China's finest. We think we're eating Japan's finest, and you're eating a damn possum that's been crawling around in a sewer for 2 months. We got to understand, dear family, that every race is out to get us. We have the biggest target on our back. It does not matter what you or I think. These people do not like us. As a reminder to everybody that is on, if you would like to call in and voice your comments or ask a question, just push one and I'll be more than happy to bring you in. But we're asking the question, what colored people? Because if colored people refers to all non-white people having a similar experience with systemic racism, why is it that nobody ever stands for black people, but black people are always standing for other people? I think it's a legitimate question to ask. I want to know, why is it that every single time black people fight for rights or fight plight of another people, when it comes time for rights and laws to get passed and benefits to come down the pipe, black people don't benefit at all? As a matter of fact, I love the way that one sister put it when she said all of the rights that black people marched and went to jail for and were killed for, when we died, Hispanics, Asians, Arabs, they stepped clean over us, accepted those rights, and never reached back to help black people. And the evidence, the proof is in the bean pie. There has never been an instance in this country where black people have not been at the bottom. At one point in time, dear family, what we have to understand is that America was literally black and white. There was nothing here but black and white people. I'm not talking about the Indians and stuff like that. They were always here. We know that. I'm talking about in the broad view of American culture, in American society. At one point in time, it was blacks and whites. And when black people got out of slavery, we started building towns. And when we started becoming economically independent and sufficient, the white man had to stop that, because as long as they knew that they could not compete with us side by side, because we had all of the skills, we had all of the resources. White people sat on their ass for 310 years and let us do all the work. They had no skills. They had no resources. So when we got free from chattel slavery, not slavery, but just chattel slavery, and it came time to compete rather than dominate, white people knew that they had to do something to sabotage us. Otherwise, in 10 or 20 years after we got free, we would have been the economic powerhouse in this country and not them. So they continue to let other, groups come in. Because the more groups that come in, and they could put that group in between us and them, they could expand the wealth difference between us and them. The more people that's in the middle, the people who are already at the bottom are going to get pushed down to the bottom, and the people who are on the top are going to get propped up higher. This is basic economics, okay? Basic economics that black people have yet to understand. So just like a couple months ago, black people were all up in arms. Oh, my God, it's so horrible what's happening to these Hispanic children. They're getting thrown into camps, right? I'll admit that was bad, but you see how you showed up for your so-called Hispanic family, right? You see how you did that? But when that young lady got her damn throat slit out there in Oakland, how many Hispanics showed up by the hundreds and by the thousands to speak up on that? There was a young brother that just recently got shot down by police officers. How many Hispanics came and did that? Listen, family, I know that there are some Hispanics that love black people, and to them I got much respect for. But let's not sit up here and act like every Hispanic person in this country and every Hispanic culture that's in this country gives a damn about black people. Just like a bag of wet dope, you cannot sell that to me. Just like there are some Arabs in this country that genuinely care about black people. But let's not sit up in that light. That's the majority of them. A small percentage of Asians that like black people. But let's not get it twisted. That is not how the majority of them feel. And as long as you think that the majority of them, of the people in these other cultures, give a damn about you, you're going to continue to be tricked every single time without fail. Okay? Now, again, this so-called people of color, so-called persons of color, would encompass blacks or so-called African-Americans, Arabs, Asians. Now, if we are all one people, if we're all one group, if we're all, you know what I'm saying, one team that's supposed to be going up against white supremacy, then we should all be experiencing the same plight socially and economically. Now, this is my thing. Socially, we know that we are not experiencing the same thing. Okay? Asians are not being shot down by police officers like black children are. Arabs are not being shot down by police officers like black people are. You do have Hispanics that are being killed by police officers, but not at the same rate as black people are. When you look at the homeless makeup in this country, it's mostly black. When you look at the incarceration rate in this country, it's mostly black. When you look at the main victims of gun violence in this country, it is primarily black. None of these other so-called people of color can say that they relate to that. So we know we're not having the same social experience in this country. Okay. Well, let's look at the economics. Let's look at the money. And this is why I said earlier, these numbers are going to shock many of us. And before I get into this, I know everybody wants me to get into these numbers, but before I even get further, let me just say something to black people. You know, there's a saying that goes, the greatest trick that the devil ever pulled was convincing the world that he did not exist. And Negroes are now holding Barack Obama in the same high esteem that they hold hippie Jesus in. Meaning that if you say anything about Barack Obama, Negroes are going to come for you. Well, I want you to come for me. Because Barack Obama was used to trick black people to re-believing or believing again in the American dream. Before it became announced that Barack Obama would be running for president, black people were losing hope in the political system. From 9/11, from Hurricane Katrina, there were a lot of things that were going on in this country in the early 2000s that made black people start peeking up a little bit, like, hold on now. Hold on, man. Maybe America really don't give a fuck about us. Maybe America really is trying to trick us out here. And so the white man, he started peeping how our attitude towards his politics were changing. He started peeping how, dang, you know, the niggas are peeping game right now. The niggas are starting to think about going their own way. They're starting to disbelieve in my politics. So they pulled one of the greatest tricks in the annals of history by allowing Barack Obama to ascend to the presidency of the United States. You know what his presidency did? It bought them 8 years of time. If Barack Obama had not been elected president, black people either would have been free by now or would be damn closer than what we are. It's bigger than Barack Obama. They use him as a face because they had a goal that they wanted to achieve. And what was that goal? That goal was to put Negroes to sleep. You see, when he was in office, we didn't demand a damn thing from him. We were just so happy that he got into office. We were so happy that that we had a black man in office. And some of us were so damn stupid, we sitting up here talking about this is the answer to Martin Luther King's dream. Some of you all were saying that. And you got nothing out of it. If Barack Obama had been Hispanic, the Hispanic people would have directly benefited from it. If he was Jewish, the Jewish community would have directly benefited from him. The only black people that got something out of Barack Obama's presidency of substance were gay black people. The rest of us, you got a moral boost. You got a moral victory. The white man don't give a damn about a moral victory. You got tricked, brother. You got tricked, sister. Economic plight did not improve. Our social plight did not improve. And now you're in 2018, and some of you all are still in denial. Some of you all are still in denial because you actually thought that by having a black president, that means that we have arrived. Negroes forgot all about racism. Man, racism doesn't exist anymore. We got a black president. You see, that's the thinking of an ignorant-ass person. We should have known that there was no way that the enemy would ever allow somebody that looks like us to get into their office and there not be an agenda behind it. We lost under Obama. It wasn't his fault. It was the people who really run this country, but they used him as a face. We lost under Obama. And guess what? We're still on the downward spiral. We're still the last hired in the first fight. We're still the most unjustly incarcerated. We're still the most likely to be shot by police officers for nothing. So I just wanted to throw that out there and remind everyone that is online, if you have a question or a comment, the chat room is open. We'll be answering questions after the break. If you would like to voice your comment or question, then you can just push one, and I'll be more than happy to bring you in so that way we can hear from you, so that way we can dialogue, because I'm pretty sure that many people who are listening have questions, have comments, and may even have concerns. We encourage dialogue. Just push one, and I'll be more than happy to bring you in. And I just got word that pretty soon I'll be joined by my dear sister, Pamela Muhammad, beautiful sister, and we'll continue the discussion. Right now, we're getting ready to go on a break, and when we get back, I'm going to break down economic differential that exists between all of these so-called people of color and show us how we have been tricked into believing that we are a part of something that we were never a part of.
Dr. James Jones III is a graduate of The Ohio State University. He has earned graduate degrees in African American Studies and History. Dr. Jones has produced the following books: Creating Revolution as They Advance, A Narrative History of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. These writings examine the historical context that facilitated the demise of the Civil Rights Movement's patience and the ascension of a much bolder and less patient mid-60s Black Power politics. Manhood, Race, and Culture, Volumes 1 and 2, contains 66 essays that cover national events that occurred within the African-American community. O. Bruni, An African-American Odyssey Home, is an ethnographic study that follows an African-American to Africa, his ancestral homeland. Foolish Floyd, The Life and Times of an African American, follows an individual who emanates from a rich tradition of contrarians. You can purchase the writings of Dr. Jones at Amazon.com, also available on Kindle. Dr. Jones is also our network resident doctor and can be heard every Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Initiative Radio Network. Please visit his website at manhoodraceandculture.com.
The Initiative Radio Network mission is the challenge facing all of us is to rise above the things that have kept us divided in the past by focusing on the agenda of creating a better future for our people, to see how all of us, with all of our varied differences, can come together and direct our energy, not at each other, but at the condition of the reality of the suffering of our people, that we may use all of our skills, gifts, and talents to create a better world for ourselves, our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. It is time for us to stop thinking and acting solely on behalf of our churches, mosques, temples, synagogues, and organizations. It is time for us as leaders to come together and begin to think, plan, and act on the whole of our people. We must put an end to the mischief and the mischief maker.
All praise is due to Allah. We are back on the Joshua Generation Speaks. For those that may just now be joining us, we are under an hour left for this evening's program. And just as a reminder, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can push one, and we'll be more than happy to bring you on so that way we can hear from you. What we're talking about earlier, we define what colored people or colored person means. And it means all non-white people emphasizing common experiences of systemic racism, which would mean that Arabs, black people, Hispanics, and Asians should have a coalition that is dedicated towards fighting racism. But we have proven and pointed out how that has never been the case, and there is nothing that is happening now that's going to indicate that that will ever be the case. So I see that we do have a caller that would like to join on. We have two. So I'm going to take you all in the order in which you requested to come on. So right now, caller area code 610, last four digits 2869. You're now live.
Fuck me in the ass and butter my backside and call me Biscuit.
Excuse me? Oh, wow. Okay, so second caller, area code 484, last digits 2043, you're not live.
Tuna box, nigger.
Excuse me?
Tuna box, nigger.
Oh, I see we have an ignorant devil that wants to play on the lines, but we're not going to deceive you.
Hell yeah, we do.
To everybody else, as a reminder, if you would like to come on, please push one. And you know, if you want to come on here and put out racist epithets and say ignorant stuff, why waste the people's time? You know, even though it may be kind of funny, because ignorance nowadays is laughable. But, you know, let's not waste the people's time. If you have a genuine question or comment, then feel free to come on and express yourself in an intelligent manner. But don't waste my time or waste the people who are listening's time by, you know, coming on and just being ignorant. So we've already shown and proved how the social reality of Arabs, of blacks, of Hispanics, and of Asians are not the same. Now let's look at the financials. The national median household income is $51,914,000, right? So we might as well say $52,000. That's the national median. Black, white, every culture that exists in this country, the national median for that household is about $52,000. All right. Now, Arab Americans, on average, have $56,000, meaning that they are above average, which means that they're doing pretty good by this country's financial rubric. The Hispanic household has an average of $41,000 per household, which is lower. The Asians are doing extremely well. They have, the average household is about 75. Now remember, the median household, the national median household income is 52,000. And of all the people of color, the Asians are doing the best with 75,000. The Arabs are doing the second best with about 57,000. The Hispanics are third with 41K. And black people are way under with 36,000. Now, if that's not bad enough, the Hispanic community makes up over is comprised of over 13 different Hispanic, not ethnicities, but nationalities. Argentinians, Peruvians, Venezuelans, Ecuadorians, Colombians, Nicaraguans, Salvadorians, Cubans, Mexicans, Guatemalans, Dominicans, and Hondurans. I see here that we have another caller, area code 610, last digits 1073. You're now live.
Look, I can feel, man. They're all a bunch of niggers.
So, the Argentinians, now remember now, this is the national median of income in this country is $52,000, right? Argentinians, their average is $55,000. Peruvians, their average is $50,000. Venezuelans, $50,000. Ecuadorians, $48,600. Colombians, $48,000. Nicaraguans, $40,000. Salvadorians, $40,000. Cubans, $38,600. Mexicans, $38,000. Guatemalans, $36,400. Puerto Ricans, $36,000. Dominicans, $32,300. Hondurans, $31,000. Of 13 Hispanic cultures, of 13, only two make less than the average black household. And we know that there are not more Dominicans in this country than all of black people. We know that there are not more Hondurans in this country than black people. So we can safely say and safely conclude that the wealth gap in this country is so big that some economists say that black people are 228 years behind white people. Oh, but it gets even better. It gets even better. It is predicted that by the year 2053, the median wealth of black Americans will fall to zero. I'm going to say that again. TheGuardian.com posted an article on September, the median wealth of black Americans will fall to zero by 2053. All right? 3 years from now, because this was written in 2017, so 3 years from then would have been, will be 2020, which is 2 years from now. 3 years from now, white U.S. households are projected to own 86 times more wealth than black households. So let's just do some math here, right? Median for a black household is $36,000. And by 2020, white households are projected to own 86 times that. That is $3,096,000. So basically what that is saying is that it will take 86 black households to equal that of one household. And the way that it is going, it will get even worse than that. The article ultimately makes a conclusion that by 2053, it is projected that black people's median household income will be zero. When that happens, we're still going to need money to operate in this economy. So who are you going to go to for money? You're going to go to white folks if you're silly. You're going to go to white folks, and they are going to have you working for free. You're going to be right back slaving for them. That's what their ultimate goal is, to put us back on a plantation where they don't have to do anything for us but feed us. And they don't want to do that, but for the sole purpose of our labor, they know that we have to keep up our strength just like slavery. So if we do not submit to the program of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his economic program, and we don't subscribe to the advice of Marcus Garvey, of Elijah Muhammad, of Minister Farrakhan, where they are telling us and warning us that we need to become economically free, we in 40 years are going to be back picking cotton, bucking barley, and in trees again. This is where this is headed. So we are literally running out of time. People really want to be free? Do black people really want a sovereign land and a country of their own? Because the white man, he has something in mind for you. He has a plan for you. We better get our act together. We better get our act together off of the way that we are going, family. I'm telling you, every people is ahead of us. I'll be right back after these messages.
Dr. James Jones III is a graduate of The Ohio State University. He has earned graduate degrees in African American Studies and History. Dr. Jones has produced the following books: Creating Revolution as They Advance, A Narrative History of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. These writings examine the historical context that facilitated the demise of the Civil Rights Movement's patience and the ascension of a much bolder and less patient mid-60s Black Power politics. Manhood, Race, and Culture, Volumes 1 and 2, contains 66 essays that cover national events that occurred within the African-American community. O. Bruni, An African-American Odyssey Home, is an ethnographic study that follows an African-American to Africa, his ancestral homeland. Foolish Floyd, The Life and Times of an African American, follows an individual who emanates from a rich tradition of contrarians. You can purchase the writings of Dr. Jones at Amazon.com, also available on Kindle. Dr. Jones is also our network resident doctor and can be heard every Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Initiative Radio Network. Please visit his website at manhoodraceandculture.com.
Customer, you still want your treatment. You may arrive feeling ordinary, but when you leave, you're guaranteed to feel extraordinary. We take pride and honor in serving you and treating you as the queens and kings that you are at Pamela Palace. So come and purchase beautiful scarves, shades, jewelry, etc. for queens, and for kings, we have wallets, bow ties, and much more. Need a warrior experience? Well, contact me at Pamela Palace, PamalahPalace, on Facebook or Instagram, and also PamelaPalace@gmail.com. Thank you so much for your purchases, and please come again.
Assalamu alaikum. We're back on the Joshua Generation Speaks. As we get ready to wind this show down, I want to thank everybody for tuning in, participating, and I hope that I did say something of value. But before we close, I did have some more information that I wanted to share with us. You know, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, while it ended segregation in public places and banned employment discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, or national origin, it didn't give us the right to decent education or give us the right to fair payment. And this is the importance of having knowledge, family, and not just going to white folks begging for inclusion. Because basically what the civil rights said was, okay, you're right, you should be able to eat at our restaurants. You should be able to go to our schools. You should be able to use our bathrooms and use our water fountains. But just know that while you're able to shop in our stores now, we're going to watch you because we don't trust you. Just because you're able to go to our schools now, you're not going to be allowed the same access to education as your white counterparts or as those who have the money to afford decent education. You're right. You should be allowed to work on our jobs. But guess what? We're not going to pay you what you deserve. And that is precisely why. And nowhere in this country is anyone who is making minimum wage able to really afford where they live. Not one place in this country. And then what kills me with the people in this country is you're sitting up here, you're begging politicians to raise the minimum wage. The reason why it's taking them so long is because they're trying to figure out a way to raise the cost of living. So that way when they give you what you're asking them for, by that time they will have already raised the cost of living. So your little $2 raise or your little $3 raise or the minimum wage going from $7.50 an hour to $10.50 an hour is not going to mean a damn thing, because you're still going to end up below the line. You are not going to get over on the people in this country that run shit. The only hope that poor people, especially poor black people, have is to create our own economy. It is not impossible. It is not hard. It just requires unity, and it requires sacrifice. Two things that we seem to be allergic to. But like I said, it is projected that by 2053, the median income of black families in this country will hit zero. We're already less than 15,000 now. But see, we think that because we have people like Oprah, or should I say Oprah Winfrey, we think that because we have people like Michael Jordan and LeBron James and all these millionaires who don't even make up 0.01% of black people in this country, we think that because we have them that we've made it. But guess what? They don't spend their money in their community. They are not spearheading any economics that is centered around the black community. So that is why we lag behind, because we think that because if one of us makes it, we all make it. That is bullshit. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that no one man can rise above the condition of his people. So if the majority of your people are poor, you can have $1 trillion. It means nothing. So you look at the white community, it's true that when one of them makes it, all of them make it, because guess what? They hire their own first. They give their own raises first. They give their own promotions first. But we are the only people that we get brownie points for being all-inclusive. So as I get ready to leave you all, as I get ready to wind down, every black person is duty-bound, is obligated to start putting their monies together, to see to it that a black economy comes to birth, to see to it that black businesses come to birth. We have to etch out an economic future for ourselves and for our people if we want to survive past. Then thank you all for listening. And before I go, if anyone has any questions or comment or would like to call in my pushy point, now would be the time to do so. I'm going to end this show early because I think we've covered everything we need to cover.
If not, then thank you all for listening. I will definitely start get back next Saturday with a different subject matter and be more consistent. But I want to thank everybody for listening, and I hope y'all have a wonderful evening. Assalamu alaikum.